Hello, and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmond. Not joining me as ever today, there's no co-host, Mr. Joe Devine. This is kind of like a filler episode because Joe's very busy, very stressed. He can't even get his act together to edit the episode, so it's his turn to edit. This might even come out before. And we got two in the can. Anyway, Joe, ages ago, he did a lovely little solo episode, and it was so good. But I'm going to do one. I've got a cup of tea. I've just had a salami bagel. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through my film stubs that I've kept. The run of years I kept, they're very little envelopes. I've got 1999, and it runs all the way to 2004. And then there's a miscellaneous 2013 to 2014. Now, what I'm going to do, because I have so much faith in this format, is I'm just going to do 1999 today, which many people regard to be the year of cinema. We'll find out. I haven't gone through these for quite some time. I might have missed a stub. I was pretty good at keeping them. The reason I started keeping them is because I turned 18 in that year. And I came into London around my birthday to see the film Your Friends and Neighbours, written and directed by Neil LaBute, starring Ben Stiller, Jason Patrick, Catherine Keener. You couldn't see that where I grew up. It was only in London. I think it was a curzon, really faded. £5. This is the cinema in the day, back in the day, was £5. Sorry, that's really old. I'm a really old man. And what a boring thing to note. You know, stuff goes up. Anyway, I love the film. I still do. I rewatched it recently. It's brutal. The dialogue is razor sharp, and it's fantastic. So that's what I saw. That's what started my collection. And then we roll straight on to The Thin Red Lion. The Thin Red Lion. It's The Thin Red Line. I saw that in March, 10th of March, 12:15 showing. It was the Odeon in Hemel. So, you know, this is, I'm really trying to be a full little cineast boy. Malick, I don't think I'd seen, I might have seen Badlands because I got told to. And he hadn't made a film in ages. And everyone's like, he's back, baby, he's back. He's made a war movie. And yeah, I mean, I found it. I remember really, really wanting, I felt like I had to get it and had to like it. And I found it maybe quite long and fairly boring. But I've got it on DVD. It's probably maybe time for a rewatch. J15, that's where I sat, J15. How much was it? £3.60. That film in Hemel, in the Odeon, £3.60. And they're all in that sort of wheelhouse. On the 19th, how many days later is that? That's 9 days later, just over a week. I go and see Arlington Road, J13. I like the J's. Oh, very similar. Very similar seat. What's the guy's name? He's called Mark Pellington, is it? Anyway, but Jeff Bridges and Tim Robbins. It's a lovely little, I guess, terrorism flick. Can You Trust Your Neighbours? It's got one of the all-timer endings. I think it's probably a little bit baggy. There's a phenomenal sequence in the middle where Jeff Bridges talks about a raid that went wrong. It's a fantastic monologue. It's probably on YouTube. You could probably just watch that bit. It's Jeff Bridges on fine form. And this kind of flick, they don't really make it anymore. That was Screen 6, 9th of April, January, February, March, April, yeah, April, 9th of April, J14, I love the J's, it's Screen 6 again, and I go and see The Faculty. Robert Rodriguez is The Faculty, written by Kevin Williamson of Scream fame. I think he was high on the Scream vibe after that, and Rodriguez, he'd come out of nowhere. I was well into him after El Mariachi and Desperado. I got very, yeah, I was very into the idea of the, these kind of hustler filmmakers who, like him and Kevin Smith, inspired by Tarantino and kind of coming out with these fun little flicks. Now, The Faculty, it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers ripoff. It's very broad, but I remember finding it quite fun. Josh Hartnett's quite fun. I mean, it's a forgot you forgot. I've never really revisited it. It's not really gory enough, and yeah, it's very PG-13. £4.90. So that was a 9:30 showing. Again, Hemel. These are all Hemel. They're all green, and I'll share some of these. I'll share the tickets on my Instagram in case you think I'm lying. Because I mean, but who would lie? Who would lie about this? So that's why, you know, you're paying an extra quid or so to go and see an evening flick. Now I don't go back to the cinema for basically a month. 1st of May, I'm sitting on row G this time. Screen 6. Everything was screen 6 back then. And I go and see The Waterboy at 7:35. I didn't really give a shit about Adam Sandler. I still don't. And The Waterboy is a bad film. He does one of his silly voices, and he's got... It's one of his silly voices. I've got mental problems. Films. I don't know why I went to see this. I don't know why I went to see this. But the day later. I wonder what. I mean, I don't know what day of the week these are. Doesn't matter. But the day later, 2nd of May. F9, screen 3, it's a smaller screen, and when you hear the flick, you'll know why. Existenz, £3.60, £4.15 showing. Now, I loved this. I remember, it blew me away. I was well into Cronenberg. I saw The Fly when I was about 13, and I've got a real soft spot for Existenz. It's a bit silly, it's a bit overblown, but it's got lovely little nods to Videodrome within it. Jude Law's great. Jennifer Jason Leigh is great. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, people don't chat about it enough. I think maybe because it looks a little bit hokey now. £3.60. And then 2 weeks later, on the 15th, I go and see Twin Dragons. I think that's a Jet Li flick, J17. I've got no memory of that. I have no idea. I'm not looking at the letterbox for any of these things. Oh, okay. And now here we go. This is where things start to get real. It's the 11th of June. The prices have gone up. It's £5.20. It's screen 6. Q9. So a bit further back. But I'm going to go and see. And I'm seeing... It's The Matrix. It's the 6 o'clock showing of The Matrix. And I've seen it. I've seen The Matrix. And I thought it was great. And yeah, fantastic. But, you know, I do think it's dated a bit. Yeah, the action, you know, the action just saves the day in that flick. Big ideas. I've kind of cooled on it. Everyone loves it still. And of course I'm going to follow it up on the 12th of June with Notting Hill, C10. Of course I am. 9:15. I saw a lot of these films with my secondary school pals, sixth form pals, one of whom, which I don't speak to anymore. That's for another time. Notting Hill. I mean, you know, I didn't just watch The Thin Red Lion. I didn't just watch The Thin Red Lion or Existenz. I was open to all things. I wasn't a snob. And I mean, yeah, Notting Hill, I found it just, it's perfectly fine, watchable, very trad. And then it's only a month, it's a month to wait, 10th of July, and it's The Mummy, again, a 9 o'clock showing of The Mummy. Now, I remember people like, the knives were out for this flick, everyone was like, what are you doing, this is going to be rubbish, and it was, it went down real smooth, it's very entertaining, Brendan Fraser's fun. It did really well. I'd love to do it on the podcast. It's very forgot you forgot. And then 2 days later on the 12th, £3.50, I'll go and see 10 things I hate about you. Another £3.60. So I think maybe before 5 o'clock, you're getting that £3.60 sweet spot. Screen 3, one of the smaller screens. I was very taken with Julia Stiles in this flick. It's fairly entertaining. I watched it recently with my daughter. It's got some very fruity language in it. I think someone calls someone a whore. It's a bit adult, I thought. Well, you know, it's one of those Shakespeare adaptations. So people have got a soft spot for it. 14th of July, 12:45, screen 1. I go and see Doberman. It's a kind of a gross French action stylized graphic novel adaptation with Vincent Cassel. And Monica Bellucci's in it, I think. Very disappointed. It looked like it should be fun. It was going to be fun, but it was just, quite boring and dreary and just, you know, abrasive. Now, this was big. This is big. Because I see the day after, and this is what I'd been waiting, this is what a lot of people had been waiting for. I'm kind of the wrong age for Star Wars, but the hype around Ep 1, Phantom Menace, it had been rolling for at least a year. 15th of July, 11 a.m. I'm right there. F-16, screen 6. Screen 6 was the big screen. And episode 1. Remember being obviously into it. The lightsaber stuff is great, but ultimately thinking this is a bit shit. And then I go and see The Matrix again, and this time I go and see it at the Wickham 6. And it's really faded, this one. It's on the 25th, I see that. So 25th, and how much is it? It's £5.70 when you go to the Wickham 6. I went to see that with my mate, who I fell out with years later. And it really wound him up, the ending, whereby Neo dies. He gets shot, and he dies in the real life. Trinity's all sad. And she leans in and she says, "Oh, you can't die. You are the one because I love you." And then that wakes him up. And my mate, he was insistent. He said, "Listen, right, his body died. His body died in the real world. So, you know, this is a nonsense." And it seemed to be a real deal breaker for him. I'd already seen it and thought it was great. And then the action again was totally pumped for it. I thought he was nitpicking. You know, you wouldn't see me nitpicking about that kind of stuff. Now the 30th, end of July, 3:15, of course, I'm seeing Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, Hemel. Now the tickets were green, and now for some reason, once you hit this bit, they changed up the print stock, and the tickets are orange. Now, I thought this film was hilarious at the time. Really funny, but far too long. The first one had become a little cult favourite, and I'd seen it it hit big on video. And, of course, you know, everyone loved Dr. Evil. And there's lots of really, really silly poo jokes and knob jokes. Yeah, I haven't seen that in a million years. Wouldn't think to rewatch it. Because I'm 45. And then on the 3rd of August, I'm going right back. I'm going back to Star Wars. I'm going to see Phantom Menace again. 3:40. Not the time, 3:40. It cost 3:40, and I saw it at 2. Screen 6 again, G16. To enjoy the lightsaber battle. I mean, the lightsaber battle at the end. Do 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 ba 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 ba. It's one of the great music bits of music in a film. I mean, we're in August, so I'm at a loose end. This is why I'm going to the cinema all the time. It's obviously the summer holiday. Maybe before I go off to university. I was a lonely boy. I would have gone maybe with my friends, or I might have just gone by myself. And on the same, oh shit, fuck it, I've got these in the wrong order. I'd started the day the same day, the 3rd of August at 11:30. I'd gone to see Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me again. you know, it's 4 days after I've seen it, and I'm like, of course I'm going to go back. I'm going to see Austin Powers Spy Shagged Me at 11:30, and for pudding, I'm going to see episode one, Phantom Menace. What a time to be alive. 21st of August, 4:90, Hemel, Thomas Crown Affair. We'd done this on the podcast. Pure sauce. Loved it. I thought it was great back then. It didn't quite have it on the rewatch. But it was a fun little flick, I thought, at the time. And then here we go. This is probably the hardest and longest I've ever laughed in the cinema. 26th of August, 10:15, and we're seeing South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. And yeah, just one of the great non-stop laugh films in memory. And I'm watching it a couple of days later again at the cinema, 30th of August. Again, laughing just as much. Loved it. Got it on DVD and just rinsed it. Haven't really revisited it in a long time. Sort of feel like I'm sort of over South Park. But, you know, shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. That was it, man. It had me. 4.90. Not the time for it. The ticket was 4.90, and I saw it at 5.50. Row F, F15, and I get the same seat. Row F, seat 15, on the 3rd of September. I'm very much a creature of habit, and I like what I like. So I would have found a spot, and I'm like, yeah, this is the spot, and this is the seat to get a good view. And I'm seeing Go. Doug Liman directed Go, written by John August. 9:55. Imagine that, going to see a flick at 9:55. What did we do before? Because I would have driven. I had a car. Well, my mum's car. My mum's automatic. I'd drive us there. Maybe we took it in turns, but we didn't drink. We didn't go to the pub before. In at Hemel, there was a bowling alley, I think, there, and then there was other kind of stuff like that, but we just kind of went straight to the cinema and then we just like loiter around, and then there was nothing else to do. We didn't go shopping, and it's 9:55, so we're just like lingering and loitering in the lobby, razzing on each other. I've not seen Go in, what is it, 1999, and now it's 2025. I've not seen it in 25 years. I did get that on DVD as well. Yeah, it's a Forgot You Forgot. Quite fun idea to do. Ties together three different stories, and they cross connect and interconnect. It is quite fun. I can't imagine. Timothy Oliphant, he's great in it, and so's Katie Holmes, actually. She's fun. Now this tea's almost done, and then we're on the. Let's just check the timeline. Okay, yeah, and then the sixth of September, I'm going to Milton Keynes and to the Point, UCI Cinemas, not an Odeon. You don't get UCI anymore. And I go and see the 13th Warrior, the adapted from the book of the same name by Michael Crichton. Not called Michael Crichton, is it? It's called the 13th Warrior, and it's directed by it's John McTiernan. Antonio Banderas, a kind of a Viking flick, 4:50. That's not the time. I actually saw it at 4:45, and it cost 4:50. And it was a Monday. This ticket has the day. It was a Monday. I would have driven there all by myself. Did I go with my mate who I don't know anymore? Screen 7. Yeah, didn't. I can't remember a thing about that flick. Just not being. It was, I think, notoriously troubled production, and didn't turn out that well. And 20th of September, 8:45, Screen 2. I'm going to see Drop Dead Gorgeous. Now, I can't remember a thing about this flick. I know it was a satire on beauty pageants. Kirsten Dunst, she was good in it, and what's her name, Denise Richards, she's in it. I feel like maybe it's one to rewatch. Don't know. And then here, this is it. This is where a big shift happens in my life. I've gone to uni, and the ticket stubs change markedly. And it's the 11th of October, so maybe I've settled in, and it's a Monday on this ticket. It's 6 o'clock, and I've gone to see Analyze This, the Robert De Niro, Billy Crystal, kind of mob therapist film. Not very good at all. Everyone was very into mobsters and therapy at the time. Sopranos had come out. I think I went with one of the guys I'd met in halls. This was a very lonely time for me. But yeah, I think I managed to go to the cinema with someone there. And then I definitely went with someone, I think maybe yeah, the same guy, Ray. He had leather gloves, and it's quite a imposing presence. Nice guy. Wednesday, 20th of October, we go and see Deep Blue Sea. £3.50 at 8 o'clock. Oh, I had so much fun with that flick. I thought it was hilarious. And then when the bit happens with Samuel L. Jackson, I thought, yes, please. This is a flick that it's going to surprise you. It kind of gets some fairly shit on. I think they did it on the, what's that other film podcast? How Did This Get Made? Where they make fun of it. It's a fun, stupid movie. It's fine. Now, I've got some faded... There was an art house cinema in Norwich, and the tickets for these are so faded. But I can see on the 28th of October, I felt so proud of myself that I tracked down the art house cinema, and because it was a campus university, and I was on the campus, and so I wasn't particularly adventurous, a little bit timid, you know, didn't want to get lost, and you know, I striking out on my own, trying to be a real boy, finding this, going by myself, and I went to see Tim Roth's directorial debut, The War Zone, on the 28th. Now, this is a really heavy, heavy, heavy flick. One of the funniest cinema experiences, because towards the end of the film, when it transpires what it's about, Ray Winston's this horrible dad, and he's got these two teen kids, and it's told from the kids' point of view. It's very, yeah, it's in the mold of Nil by Mouth. And when it transpires what Winston has been up to, there was maybe three people in the cinema. I was in the middle of the row, and one of the patrons towards the back just started shouting out, "He's fucking her up the ass! He's fucking her up the ass!" A mix of outrage and then also surprise. I mean, it had been coming, that kind of heavy reveal. So, yeah, not much else to say about that flick. I wouldn't recommend it, but I told that story quite a few times. And then I'm back in near Hemel. I've got a little orange ticket. It's the 10th of September, and we've gone to see Eyes Wide Shut. With the mate who I would years later fall out with. So I've obviously popped back home, scurried back to see people who knew me and liked me. Didn't like Eyes Wide Shut at all. I was found it very boring, and again, my mate who'd nitpicked about The Matrix, he was nitpicking about this one. He there's a scene where they're standing by a snooker table, and the balls keep moving around when, you know, the shot changes, the balls moved, and he was livid about that. Thought maybe Kubrick would have had an eye on that, but I need to rewatch it. Joe's watched it recently. He said it's good. And it's kind of come back into the chat. 21st of October, I'm back in Norwich, and I'm back at the Art House Cinema, and I'm watching Strangers on a Train. The film Strangers on a Train. I don't think I'd seen it, and so I saw it. It's really good. It goes on a little bit long. The tennis match at the end, it was losing my interest when Hitchcock kind of overdoes it with the tennis match. But yeah, nice to get out of. I'm starting to feel like I'm finding my feet. And then on the same day, is it the same day? It is. It's the same day. I saw that. I see that at 5 p.m. Oh, and what I've seen before, I've seen it around 2 o'clock. I've seen Get Carter. That's what I've done. I've gone for a double bill of Get Carter and Strangers on a Train. I've not seen either of them. Get Carter's great. I love that. The soundtrack's fantastic. You got eyes like piss holes in the snow. Very quotable. Very bleak. It's one to rewatch. And then it's the 22nd, and I'm back. I've gone back home again. I feel like it's maybe my first year, and I'm going back. I'm going back to see my friends. We're all maybe yo-yoing back between our respective universities. It's 9:35. It's £4.90. It's Screen 7, and we see Bowfinger, which is very forgettable. A very forgettable, silly film. I've got nothing to say about Bowfinger. And then we're back in Norwich. It's the 3rd of November, and I go and see American Pie. It's the year of American Pie. Everyone was talking about American Pie. How sauce? No one had ever seen such sauce since Porky's. And obviously, I enjoyed elements of that. And then on the 10th, equally, everyone's chatting about 10th, £2.35, £3.40. I go and see The Blair Witch. £2.30. I thought I was sure we saw that. Yeah, that's strange. Wednesday. Oh, it's a Wednesday. Skipping out on school. Saw it with this guy, Ray. Yeah, found that very scary. Very affecting. Very good flick. And then the day later, no, 2 days later, on the 12th, Friday, we go and see The Sixth Sense. Everyone's chatting about The Sixth Sense. Bruce is back, baby. It's 3:45. Not the time. The time's 3:45. The price is 3:50. And I thought it was fantastic. I really thought it was a superb film, and of course that ending. And it stands up. I think, you know, it stands up. Everyone shits on Shyamalan now. I do a bit sometimes, but I think it's probably his best fit. It's his, that or Unbreakable. It's just a very it's a superb debut. And we're nearing the end of the year. We're nearing the end of 1999, and everyone's talking about, you know, Y2K. It's the 18th. It's the 18th of November, and it's Fight Club. And I've finally kind of settled in, and I've made some friends, and we go and see Fight Club. And it was one of those cinematic life changing experiences watching that film, seeing how funny and dark you could be. And the storytelling of it, like, you know, I'm 18, and the idea that it's the same guy, it did blow my tiny little mind. And I became a little bit obsessed with Fight Club. I'd get the book, I'd get massively into Chuck Palahniuk, read all his stuff. And back then it was fine. I think back now, if you talk about Fight Club the way I talked about Fight Club, it would be one of those red flag things. And then I go and see it very swiftly after, on the 25th, back at Hemel, 3:40, price, 8 o'clock in the evening. It's on Screen 2, so a small screen, and I can really luxuriate in the storytelling and the fun of it. And then I'm seeing Tarzan for some reason. And I'm seeing that. Where am I seeing that? It's hard to tell from the ticket. I feel like I saw that in when I was around uni. Screen 11, 6th of December. Maybe I'm back home. No, maybe I'm back home then. Nothing to say about Tarzan, really. I think I went with my sister. And then we're nearing the end. We're really nearing the end. It's the 26th of November. And, they've changed the tickets at Hemel. I saw that at Hemel, and the tickets have come right down. And I'm seeing The World Is Not Enough, the third James Bond flick, 9:30 p.m. I was massively into Brosnan, of course, as Bond, GoldenEye. Fantastic restart to the series. Loved the game. Obsessed with the game. That's what we played. Four-player GoldenEye. And it really affected my schoolwork. Anyway, World Is Not Enough. Sophie Marceau's in it, and Robert Carlyle. I can't remember a thing about it aside from that. That's a forgot you forgot. And then I round off the year with a film from this parish, from the forgot you forgot canon. It's Dogma. It's the 26th. It's 5:50. No, it's not. The price is 5:10, and it's 8:50. And I'm big into Kevin Smith at the time. Of course I am. Clerks, I loved that, and I thought, this is great. This is profane. And you can make a movie for nothing. And Mallrats, I was less impressed by. It felt a bit silly. And then Dogma. This is going to be great. Satire of religion. And I thought it was fine. I think, again, I wanted to like it more than I did, and I felt like I was telling myself, no, this is good. And of course, I've mentioned before, I sort out the putting the tickets away now. It's been 35 minutes, and I bought the yellow T-shirt that Matt Damon wears at the beginning. Kevin Smith was becoming a little cottage industry where he'd sell merch and stuff, and I felt like, oh yeah, let me be part of this. Let me be part of it. I'll wear this T-shirt, and people will pat me on the back. And that's how I rounded out 1999. Did I miss at the cinema? You know, you've got to remember, not everything always came out at the cinema. Okay, sometimes it wasn't like today. And also, I'm back where I lived. It was. You wouldn't have any art house cinemas. You were getting the big budget stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'm making excuses. Virgin Suicides, I didn't see. American Beauty. Now, I remember seeing American Beauty, and it's not in my stubs. And I remember seeing Toy Story 2, not in my stubs. Magnolia, I saw that. It's not in my stubs. I've lost the Magnolia stub. I didn't enjoy it. I remember that. I saw it with my mate who I fell out with years later. Didn't go and see Being John Malkovich. I didn't see it. I would have seen that maybe a year later on the old video. Yeah, you see, this is bullshit, right? Because I'm just having a little peek at. I'm having a peek. These films are 1999 because when they came out in America, because I'm looking at my 2000 stubs, and I can see it says Sleepy Hollow is 1999, but that comes out in the UK in January. American Beauty, again, that came out in 2000. And so did Being John Malkovich. You see this stuff? Okay, before you get ahead and say I didn't see stuff, there's stuff that says it's come out in 1999. That was the American release date, okay? So don't worry. When I do this again, when you all ask me to do this again, some of those big flicks that supposedly came out in 1999 didn't get released in the UK until 2000. All right, so don't worry. Okay, I'm seeing some of those big flicks. Of course, I'm seeing Toy Story 2. I've got it. I haven't lost it. I have. Of course, I've seen Talented Mr. Ripley. And we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Okay, so let's. Don't worry about that. I'm just going to pop them away. We're going to do this again. Let me see what else I didn't see. I didn't see. Office Space, I didn't get a release. Election, I would have seen on the old video. Yeah, you can't rely on Letterboxd, okay, for these release dates. I don't feel like there's any huge omissions now. I feel like I'm on safer ground. So don't come at me yet and say, why didn't you see this? Because I'm going to record another one and it'll be 2000. And I'm just gonna do the same thing. I'm just gonna list movies, and I'm just gonna you know, just do what I did. This isn't for everyone. You know, this isn't a canon episode. It's just to tide us over. But I've enjoyed that. I might just go straight on and do 2000 now. Okay, well, thanks for listening. Follow me at Error of Ways on Instagram and Letterboxd. I've got a bit of collage stuff on my Instagram, and then I write silly reviews and I rate what I've watched on Letterboxd. Send us an email, moviesyouforgot@gmail.com. I do check it. I sort of fell out of it of checking it, but I check it and I reply. Joe doesn't. We've also got a Discord, which is quite fun to have a little chat about the things we've chatted about. People, you can go there to suggest things we should do. That the link for that is in the show notes. And that's all I got. All right, see you later.